would you like to turn with me in the Word of God? I'm going to be reading from the 12th chapter of Luke. That's the third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you don't have a Bible, someone standing right beside you will be kind enough to share. We're going to look here and see what this says. Now, a part of my introduction may be just a little plain. I'm going to have to be just a little plain with what I have to say today. And don't be offended, please. All of us in here are old enough to understand some of the boys will poke each other in the ribs and snicker, but we understand. Beginning with verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves liken to men that wait for the Lord, or for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve him." Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Hallelujah. There's a very plain meaning in that. The 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Beginning with verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "To the pulling down of strongholds." I'm going to preach about strongholds today, and we're going to pull some of them down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We're going to call in all the cats today and put them in a cage. We're going to bring into captivity every thought. Amen?
Amen?
Are you following the line of scripture here that I'm in today? "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience," when your obedience is fulfilled, when you know what God says, you are willing to rebuke yourself for thinking anything that God does not think. You are ready, having in readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. Ephesians chapter 6. I remember that you're standing today, and you will remember that we stood Thursday night. And I ask you to trust me. And it was shortly after that the power of God fell on us. And we never did sit down. Amen. Chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore," or because of this, "take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith." Hallelujah. The shield of faith. There's something about the shield. It does not attach itself to any one particular part of the body. You don't tie it to your midsection or tie it on your leg. It is on the movable arm so that it can defend up and down all over. Faith is something that works throughout. That's why I take it above all other things. If you don't have a breastplate, at least have a shield. Get something that you can get out here and move with. Does that make good sense to you? Hallelujah. The shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That means the devil shouldn't be able to get one thing on you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm not just going to pray that God will keep me, but I'm going to pray that God will keep you. I'm going to pray that God will keep us, because we are a unit. We are an army. We are a body. Hallelujah. Everybody still with me today?
Yeah.
Having your loins girt about with what?
Truth.
Truth. Now would you turn with me, please, to 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with verse 13. Wherefore? First Peter, chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children. There's that word obedience again. Obedient children. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Not doing what the lust of your own mental loins would produce, and the thoughts that your mind can produce about every situation. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. You may be seated. We are always in a soldier stance. We are at war. Every human is at war with something. We battle constantly against things and about things. There are some things that bother me that wouldn't bother you at all. And there are some things that bother you that I wouldn't have a problem with, probably, in any degree. But each one of us has particular situations that we wrestle against. Some folks are always having trouble in their home. Some folks are always having trouble with their car. Some folks are always having trouble with their children. Some folks are always having trouble with finance. Some folks are always having trouble with their jobs. And some are having trouble with their apartments. And some folks have trouble with lusts of the flesh and all kinds of things that you could not imagine that live in their hearts and minds. I want to establish today that the heart is the battlefield, the mind is the battlefield of the soul. And each of us are dressed in some combatant uniform, and we go forth to war. We may not fight anything but ourselves, but we fight. We may not wrestle with anything but our inner minds, but we wrestle. Everybody has a struggle somewhere. The Apostle Paul said, I see a struggle in my own members, in my own body, in my own mind. And it is the flesh against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. The things that I would do, I do not. And the things I would not do, those things I do. And he said, I see a warfare, let's all say warfare, in my members, in my body. And then, of course, he also said in other writings, know you not that your body is the temple of God? And so he did not discredit his being, and he did not discredit his habitation or his body as being nothing, but he did recognize that within the confines of the human mind, there is a tremendous struggle. And now don't tell me it isn't your problem, because every one of us has a struggle with something. You're not human and you're not alive if you're not struggling with something. Some people struggle for wealth. Other folks struggle for friendship. Some folks struggle to overcome their own inhibitions. And some folks have a terrible struggle with their absolute forwardness. Everybody has something that he wishes or she wishes were different about himself. How many of you can think in your mind of something you wish were different about you? That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But now those things are always going to be. We each have our own individual idiosyncrasies, things that are odd to you, things that are individual to you. We don't mean to be divisive, but we are not just like everybody else. And some people have particular things and talents and abilities that I do not have. And other people have particular problems that I do not have. And on the other hand, I have abilities they don't have, and I have problems they don't have. So after a while, each one of us has in our own heart and mind a catalog of the problems and the virtues, the liabilities and the assets that we possess. You know if you can do some things well. You know if you can do your job well. You know if you can drive a car well. You know if you can do many things well. You know that there are some things you don't do as well as other things, or as other people may do them. These things you may be conscious of or unconscious of. You may be honest with yourself, or you may be dishonest with yourself. But now let me tell you, when it comes into the realm of the spirit, each of us has struggles and problems, and there are strongholds in our minds and in our spirit that we cannot throw down. There are things that we try to think out that we can't get the answers to. There are things we try to reason about that we cannot quite confirm in our thinking. There are things that have attacked us. Everybody say hallelujah. There are things that have attacked us in our thinking that cause us to be disobedient to the Word of God. And we do this unconsciously, but we do it nonetheless. And so often we are so slow to accept the Word of God, to accept the truth of God, to accept what God says about us and about Himself and about our living and about the future. And we are so quick to reason why we can't meet God's standard and why we can't be what God says we can be. We are so full of answers as to why we can't do what God said we could do, as to why we can't live like God said we could live, as to why we cannot walk as God said we could walk. Let's all stand up, please. Now I'm going to pray, because I have a message for you today, and I'm going to pray that you can receive it and that I can preach it. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord, our lips and our ears, our hearts and our minds, because we are weighed in the balance every time the Word of God is preached, and we are no less in that position today than at other times. There are saints and souls and sinners here today who will hear this the first and the last time. It will either catch in our hearts and lodge and grow, or else we'll miss it, and perhaps miss heaven, miss the things that we need so much to do and be. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Scripture teaches us that in the beginning, when God created man, the first command that He was given was to be fruitful and to multiply. God intended for man not to just have a singular existence, but there needed to be a procreation and a progenitory and a carrying on of the species. And man was not to be any different than the animals, in as much as he would procreate, be fruitful and multiply. Not just add, but multiply. And it looked like the world had done just that. Here we are with nearly 4 billion people in the world, and the economists and the professionals in the world of living and eating and surviving say that by 1985 there won't be enough food in the world to feed anybody in the world sufficiently, that everybody would be starving. Well, that's not very far away. That used to be a long time, you know, when they said 1985, but that's not very far away today. Man has done just exactly what God said. He has been fruitful and he has multiplied. Now, there are some folks who listen to the command more closely than others, which is neither here nor there. But you can smile. That would be nice for you to smile. It wouldn't break your face to grin. Smile. Everybody smile. Smile at somebody. Lean over and smile at somebody. So you're good. You're good to smile. Some of you can't smile. That's sad. That's too bad. I'm going to preach to you. I'll preach to you. But I just don't feel like it just at this minute. I just don't feel like it just at this minute. So, the productive part of the body in the Scripture is often called the loins. This is the productive part of the anatomy of man that can create or procreate. The scripture teaches us that in Jacob's loins he paid tithe, and in Abraham's loins were nations and kings. And here I read to you from Genesis 35 that God prophesied and spoke or said to, in the spirit of prophecy, to Jacob that he would be a father of kings and of nations and of people, and that he should be fruitful and should multiply, and that out of his loins would come kings. Now the scripture in the New Testament uses this same term, speaking not just of the physical anatomy or the physical possibility in the male or in the female to procreate, but it speaks of a spiritual creation or of a mental creation. The Bible said, out of the heart proceed both good and evil. That's right. The Bible said, it's not what goeth into a man that defileth a man, but what cometh out of a man. Let's all say, what cometh out. Now let me ask you a question. How can anything come out of a man's heart that doesn't go into it? Very simple. He has the power in himself to create. He doesn't have to take everything in to give it back out. The Word of God he does. Truth he does. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It's the coming in of God's truth and the entering in of God's word that brings light and life to man. But man has the singular ability to create thought. He's made just that much in the image of God. That's why man sins more with his tongue than any other member of the body. And that's why when God saves a man, he uses the tongue as the last sign that he has sealed that soul and filled that soul by speaking with the tongue of man a new language, miraculously showing that that man is totally controlled by the lordship of Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit of God. That's why speaking in tongues is not just phenomenal and it's not just strange. It is the sign that God used that the entire body and mind was controlled by the Spirit of God. Because the tongue connects directly to the brain, and people will say anything that comes to their mind. And the Bible said the man that can bridle his tongue the same is a perfect man. Because the tongue is among our members like a fire. And it says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And it goes on to say that, behold how small the helm of the ship is in comparison to the ship. And behold, it turneth the whole ship about. And the bit in the horse's mouth, the bridle, is a small thing, but it turns the whole horse around. So is the tongue among our members. And then the scripture says, all manner of beasts of the field and fish of the sea have been tamed, and serpents have been tamed, but the tongue can no man tame. I want to preach today that the tongue and the mind that gives it its thought is a wild animal. It's a cat on the loose. The mind of man is a loose yard cat. And it is out to produce all the kittens it can. And unless you gird up the loins of your mind, you are going to be in disobedience to the Word of God. Everybody say hallelujah. The Bible said, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are God's ways above our ways. Man does not understand how to direct his path. Jeremiah said, it is not in man to direct his steps. I don't know how to live. I don't know how to walk. I don't know how to talk. I don't know what to do. I don't know. It's not in my mind to do it, because my mind is a wild yard cat. It's a yard dog out somewhere, sniffing at every neighbor that walks by, yapping at the mailman, biting at the heels of the postal service, and scaring off the meter reader, and everything, all day long. And out in the middle of the moonlight, chasing every poor little old cat up and down the block it can find, and then dragging back that cat full of kittens in about 4 or 5 months, and laying them on my step. And the first thing you know, that one little thought I allowed to go wild, and the one thought I did not gird up, And the one thing I allowed to produce comes back with a whole litter of unbelief and doubt and fear that is disobedient to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you why people think that other people don't like them, because they've got a yard cat for a brain. I'm going to tell you why people don't think God loves them, because they've got a yard dog for a mind. You say, you're talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. Most people who lose their walk with God, and most people who cannot trust God for many things, financial things, physical things, spiritual things, you'll find that their basic problem is centered right square in the middle of their heart. What is the heart? The heart is the mind. The heart is not the little pink pump that beats down here under your fifth rib and pumps peanut butter to your brain. That's not your heart. That's not what he's talking about when he talks about the heart. The heart is the seat of emotion. It's the center of emotional activity and thought. It's where love is. It's where feelings are. It's where pain is. It's where hurt is. When somebody that you love deeply says, I don't love you anymore, I hate you, where do you hurt? Well, where do you hurt? I guess you hurt in your brain, but it makes your stomach sick. It makes your chest feel heavy. It's just like somebody on top of you with pushing down on your chest like that. What happens when somebody walks to the casket of their little girl or to the casket of their mother or father? What happens when they walk up there and look in that casket? Where do they hurt? What makes them cry? Can you locate that? Grab the stethoscope. Hurry. Put it in your ears and see. Check. Find out where that is. You can't find it. It's not here or here or even here, but somewhere in the inner sanctum sanctorum of the soul, there is the center of thought, understanding, wisdom, care, concern, love, feeling. This is what God calls the center or the heart of man's existence. It is wrapped up in a God consciousness. God is at the heart of the soul. God created the heart of man to serve him. And God is standing at the door of the heart knocking, always trying to enter in with faith, with truth, with righteousness, with carefulness, with the Word of God. But on the inside, with the door slammed shut, every one of us has the physical and spiritual ability to pump out rabbits just like a machine. We can turn out cats, little old blind cats that are going to run the neighborhood and beg at every doorstep. We can turn them out hundreds by the minute. All it takes is somebody that's not praying and somebody that's not spiritually in touch to lose their walk with God is to get off by themselves for about 5 minutes and decide that somebody's got it in for them, or decide that the preacher didn't like them, or decide that nobody cares about them, or decide that they're no good, or decide that they're not what they ought to be, or decide a lot of things. And instead of letting God bring into obedience those thoughts and going out with a big net and saying, come back here, you nasty cat. You get back in this cage. I'm going to bring my mind into captivity. I'm not going to let my cats go scratch all over the neighborhood. When you set your mind free to think what you want to think, you are directly in line to contradict faith, to come against truth, to stand against the knowledge of God, and to become totally disobedient to the Spirit of the Lord. The mind is a powerful thing. What does it mean, gird up the loins of your mind? That means you take the productive part of your brain and put it away. That's one thing don't be fruitful and multiply with, is your carnal mind. The Bible says in the 8th chapter of Romans that the carnal mind is enmity against God. And one interpretation says the carnal mind is the enemy of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject. It's out of the cage. Amen. Running around. Can't be controlled. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. It is a wild little cat that you can't catch. It'll stand and beg for milk, but you reach for it and it's gone just in a snap, just like that. It'll come and beg at your door and you'll feed it every scrap. But when you get ready to catch it and put it away, you can't catch it. It'll hide under the house. It's living under the steps. It's back yonder in the tool shed. You can't get it out of the garage. And if you chase it too hard, it'll be over at the neighbor's house, complaining and gossiping about them. And it'll be laying kittens in their basement. It'll find an old loose basement window and be laying kittens down yonder by the furnace in the basement of your neighbor's house. And the first thing you know, you've got to call in the Humane Society because you've got more cats than you can handle. I've traveled overseas, and I can appreciate the Humane Society in America. And I don't like for them to have to put dogs to sleep and cats to sleep and all that, but there's something of value to not having them running all over every place. I've been in country, even in Mexico. You can go down here to Mexico, and those dogs just, they're everywhere. There are more dogs than all people, I think. I'm not sure that they don't eat them. I know I ate some in the Philippines, and it was bad. That dog meat is rank. And I didn't know it while I was doing it. I wouldn't have done it. I found out later. Some of these countries, there are dogs everywhere, and they're diseased and filthy. Their mouths all full of sores and sick and all bony. And they're out having more dogs all the time. You can't hardly turn the corner. You have to hide your eyes out. All of them out producing dogs, cats, producing cats. Have to be careful. And they just get more cats, and more cats have more cats, and more cats have more cats, and more dogs have more dogs, and more dogs have more dogs. And you say, oh, isn't that a beautiful tree over there? Isn't that lovely? Look at that. And you're almost hitting things. You're just trying, you don't want your youngins to see the dogs having dogs over there. Am I embarrassing all you good-minded folks? That's what our brains do. That's what we do day after day. We allow thoughts to go wild. We allow our carnal minds the liberty to think things that are not in line with truth. The Word of God says, my God shall supply all your needs. The Word of God confirms to us that He will take care of us. We quote the prophet David and say, I was young and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. We will say that God is my keeper. And we'll quote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not going to be in hunger. I'm not going to be in need. God is going to take care of me. And turn right around and go home and sit down and bite our fingernails off. And munch them till they're just nothing but putty. And spit them out and then worry and worry. And we just run from the refrigerator to the stove and say, what are we going to do? What we need to do is bring those cats in and put them in a cage. Because really what's bothering you right now is you've got cats fixing to have kittens. Because if you sit around a little while, the devil will give you the first starter. He'll tell you, you're going to have trouble. And all you have to do is let that thought run around a little while. And if he can sneak out of your mind and out of your heart and get around in the emotion of your spirit, he will start producing all kinds of illiterate cats everywhere. And each one of them's got a different bag. One of them will come in saying, I don't know if anybody can help me now. And the next one will come in saying, I think that I've been hopeless all these years. And somebody else will come in and say, I don't know if God even hears me pray. And here comes another cat dragging his bony tail in. And he says, I don't know if God even ever did fill me with the Holy Ghost. You ought to kill that one. Don't even put him in a cage. Bringing into captivity every thought, not just a few, but every thought. You let your mind go and your carnality go, you won't even believe God can heal the sick. You'll stand up in the middle of a congregation while we're praying for our cancer, and it'll be doubt in your mind. And you may have had the Holy Ghost 30 years, and you'll be sitting around saying, I sure hope this. Don't tell me hope. Get that cat and put it in a cage. Hallelujah. What am I going to do? How am I going to hold this thing? The Bible says, let your loins be girt about with truth. The only way to keep yourself from producing illiterate, illegitimate thoughts
that do not belong to God and are disobedient to the Word of God and are not subject to the Spirit of truth, the only way to keep from doing that is to take the Word of God and to take what you know to be the truth and say, listen here, mind, I am not going to be left without help, because the Word of God said He would never leave me and never forsake me. You say, what did you do? You just put that cat in the cage, that's what. I'm not going to be without food, because the Bible said my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. My children are not going to go off and live for the devil, because the Bible said train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old they won't depart from it. And I'm not going to let my children go, and I'm not going to let them be lost. I believe the Word of God.
Hallelujah. I get weary sometimes of saints, good, sweet, solid people, supposed to be, come up to me and say, Brother Hanley, I've always trusted God all these years. And then they start, and I can see cats going everywhere. Amen. Let's all say chain of thought. That's right. Did you ever get to thinking about something, you were trying to go to sleep and you were thinking about something and you got on the wildest things and you were thinking, how did I get on that? Come on now, come on now, come on, come on, come on, come on. What happened is a little old yellow-eyed, snotty-nosed, waggle-tailed, idiot cat come a-wandering into your mind, and you finally woke up and said, mercy, why did I think of that? And you forgot that it was that calm little sweet house cat that you just put out a few minutes ago that produced that thing. All stand up. Ooh. I feel more religious than I intended to. Hallelujah. I want us to glorify God today. He's going to help us. The Word of God is going to deliver us today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, and yet we fear. We fear failure. We feel our inability to succeed spiritually. So many people who are walking with God fear that they will not even be ready to meet the Lord. That's right. And instead of looking forward with faith to the coming of the Lord, saying hallelujah, they are constantly going back and digging up every little old thing that they failed in. I wish I could preach the grace of God. I can. I'm going to preach the grace of God this morning. I want to tell you that God has a pen for all of those little old brainless thoughts that are produced, that the Humane Society needs to put to sleep. Now, God has a good cure for all of that, but you are the one who operates the cage door. God didn't give you that spirit of fear, that feeling that you can't make it, the idea that you're worthless, the feeling that nobody cares about you. Now, there's one cat you need to kill when he comes home. Don't even let him get in the yard. You need to take a shotgun and blow his head off. I wouldn't even get my net on that filthy, leechy thing. I wouldn't put my hands on that flea bag. There's not another devil that has killed more saints than that one that comes around and whispers in your ear that nobody cares about you. Now let me ask you the next good question. What if nobody cares about you? Now, if you're going to gird up the loins of your mind, and if you're going to put away that productive thing that can create a bunch of idiot cats, hear me now, and I'm telling you, they're idiot cats. All of those things are going to come back in just a little while and tell you and prove to you how much you're correct. So-and-so didn't shake hands, and he just walked on by, and she said that. I want to tell you what, when you get in that kind of shape, nobody's going to be anything. In the first place, you make yourself such a nuisance in your own attitude that people are scared to death to shake your hand.
And when you turn those little old fellas loose, friend, they'll scratch up every piece of topsoil you got. They'll take all the Bermuda out of your yard. Leave you nothing but the sandburrs. You can't even walk out of your house without stepping off. One of the most terrible things I ever saw was Chester Hempstead shut the door on a cat's head one day. Little old stray cats all over the front porch of that big old house. Just running around all over the place. And he comes walking in laughing, hoping that little old cat stuck his head in the door to look at him. About that long, skinny, scrawny. I told him, I said, Brother Hensley, why don't you just please take those cats somewhere where somebody will love them? They don't need to be around here looking for something to eat. Poor little old thing. He said, oh, I said, they're cute. I said, they're not cute. He said, they catch mice. I said, they're so poor and so weak, they couldn't catch a mouse. There's no way you could catch a mouse. It takes a lively cat to catch a mouse. And I told him, too, that there were bigger things than mice around there. They had some rats around there bigger than the cat. I felt sorry for the poor little thing. He come in and said, ha, 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 boom, and I heard that dog go, whoo. It didn't quite shut. It didn't go, it just went, doop. And I turned around, and that poor little cat's head was hung in the door. And when we opened the door and he pulled it out by the tail and laid out there, its back feet just got up and tried to crawl, and its head was laying, it broke its neck, and its head was laying right down the concrete with its back feet. I thought, mercy, how terrible. Terrible. I was sick all day. One of the terrible things that happened to me, Sister Ham and I got a new car. It wasn't new, but it was new to us. We paid about $600 for it. It was a standard transmission Mercury with a 6-cylinder engine. It was supposed to get lots of gas mileage, and you couldn't get it up a hill. It was... we're going evangelizing. And the first day I got it, I ran over 2 dogs and 1 cat. Is that right? That's right. And almost hit another one. And that's when I parked it and said, I'm going to put a paint job on this car because they can't see me coming. It's an awful thing when you drive along. Boom. There's a lot of sickness that lays around the church. Because people let those cats go out and just have cats everywhere. Dogs have dogs everywhere. We look like we're living in Indonesia. Got dogs, all kinds of cats. Somebody needs to go through the street and just get a cage and put every one of them in a cage. Every one of them, pick them up. Those things have got disease. They carry fleas. Let's all say, dogs carry fleas. Let's all say, cats give you ringworm. Sure will.
Brother Hanby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't either. But as many cats as you got to feed, I don't believe you'll ever get anything done.
Brother Hanby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in trouble.
I know it. You got cats on your shoulder, cats on your head, cats on your couch, cats on your chair, cats in your kitchen, cats on the table, cats on the stove. You're frying cat for dinner. You're eating cat for lunch. You wash cats after you get through with supper. You've got cats everywhere because your mind is loose. You haven't girded up the loins of your mind, and you've offered yourself the liberty of thinking anything that comes to your mind, and you forgot that the Holy Ghost was supposed to set a guard on your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You're either going to let those scroungy little lifey things go, or else you are going to produce truth and righteousness and honesty. God's word says he'll supply your needs. God's word said that he'll never let you be alone. God's word said that if everything else leaves you, you say, well, nobody loves me. If everybody in this church hated you, if that were the case, the Bible says that he'll always be with you. Said, I'm having trouble with my finance. God knows about that. Take care of that. Said, what am I going to do? I wouldn't think about it if I were you. Because if you start thinking about it, you start a chain of thought. And every link is a cat. Every one of them. And they got little old claws and little old beady eyes and they're starving little old things. And you're going to step on them. You're going to shut the door on their head. You're going to run over them with your car. You're going to have cats everywhere. And the first thing you know, you're going to have a burying situation. All you can do is bury cats. Bury cats, bury cats. That's what so many saints do. They live their lives burying cats. Well, Brother Andy, I've been praying and I feel so much better. You know, I got to thinking last week and I just got so down. And that's right. And all you've been doing all week is digging a hole to bury your cat. That's all. And finally, you got that poor old dead cat buried. And now just kneel down over his grave and fold your hands and be kind to him because he did you good. He made you feel good and sympathetic and rich in your spirit for about 3 days and spoiled your Christianity. You couldn't witness. You couldn't pray. You couldn't serve God. You couldn't do anything because you were too busy burying cats. In the first place, he shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have been there. And if you'd have controlled the thought that created him, he wouldn't have been there. But when you let the cat go out of your cage and the devil put some thought in you and you allow that thing and you listen to that thing and you don't bring every thought into captivity, then you're not in readiness to be obedient when your obedience is about to be revenged. When God lets you know the truth and you're having a struggle and you're in the middle of a trial, these trials are to make us strong. These trials are to make us grow. Trouble doesn't come just because God has forsaken us. Everybody say hallelujah. God never will forsake you. I'm going to preach about the grace of God. I want to tell you that you don't have to dig up your history. And you don't have to let the devil pull out of the blood every little old thing you ever did. When God puts it in the blood, he puts it in a sea of forgetfulness never to be remembered against you anymore. But I'm going to tell you what cats will do. They'll dig up everything in your yard. And you let enough of those cats go, and they'll go dig up your old sins. They'll go dig up your old crimes. They'll go dig up your old feelings. And before you know it, you'll come back. They'll come back with litters of little old kittens that are saying what one old sin used to say. And now you don't have just one haunting feeling. But that thought about what you did will lead you to another one. And that will say, yes, and brother, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if God ever did forgive you. And that will say something else. I had a call from someone last night, late in the night, and they were telling me about a wonderful experience they had. They'd had a terrible emotional experience and had gone through some trials and had failed in so many ways. And they themselves had tried to come back and repent and seek after God. And this person was telling me they lived with this terrible fear on the inside that God had not forgiven them. And then they told me this beautiful story about a dream they had had. They called me for prayer, and I said, I'm going to pray that God will give you a visitation and let you know that he has forgiven and has helped you in that situation. Well, they called me last night and said, Brother Hanby, I want to tell you what the Lord gave me. I was dreaming that I walked into my house, and I got down on my knees, and I cried and fell down in the living room and said, there's no use for me because I've sinned so greatly and I've done so wrong, and God could never help me ever again. See, now this is cats on the loose. That's what that is. That's cats on the loose. And so they prayed that way, and in this dream, somebody walked into the room. Walked in on the right side of them and touched them on the left shoulder. And by that, this person said they knew that someone had put an arm around them because they had walked, the presence had come in on this side and had touched them on the other side. And so they felt as though they had been embraced. And so this person reached up to touch the hand that had touched it. And when it did, there was a huge, big old rough place on it as though it had been burned on both sides of the hand. And this person said, I felt of the hand and thought, oh, whoever this is has been terribly burned and scarred. And then suddenly, in the dream it came, that's not a burn, that's a nail scar. And this person wheeled around to look into the face of whatever this presence was, and the first thing that came to this person's mind was this terrible buildup of fear that they had not been forgiven, that God had not heard them. And they said, Jesus, please, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. And they said that the only response before they woke up was a tender voice that said, what sin? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that he can wash your sin away. It's not just an idle thing for me to stand in here and preach to you that the blood of Jesus Christ will wash away every stain I'm preaching that to sinners and to saints. If any man sin, he have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, Let's all say not for ours only, but the sin of the whole world. You say he was talking about the world. It wasn't either. He was talking to beloved brethren. You say, I've never sinned. You're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Thus saith the word of God. You say, I have no sin. You lie, and the truth is not in you. Every one of us has come short. Every one of us is less than we should have been. Every one of us is a failure in ourselves. And if we were perfect, we wouldn't need God. But I need him today, and I know I need him. And I've needed him in my lifetime. And I'm going to need him tomorrow. But I'm not going to let the devil beat me to death. And I'm not going to let my mind go out and produce cats all over the yard until I can't walk with God for killing them. I can't walk into the heart of God without slamming the door on their head. I can't go out in the spirit without running over some of them. Sometimes people get ready to witness, and the first thing they say when they get ready to witness is, I'm not worthy to do this because I failed so much. That's right. They can't witness because they failed. They can't testify because they failed. They can't pray because all they can do when they get down is, oh God, I'm not worthy to pray. Help me, Jesus. Oh, God, forgive me, oh, Lord. And that's all they get prayed through. Because they are busy burying cats. That's all they're just stepping over cats everywhere. And the reason why all those cats are out there is because you didn't gird up the loins of your mind. Your mind is a cat factory. It turns out cats faster than you can imagine. And as long as you leave the cage door up, you're going to have cats going out of there 90 miles an hour. And when they come back, they're all going to come back with a litter. Every one of them's got 8 or 10 behind it. And they're all blind and got sore eyes. And they're flea bags. And they're full of lies, and they're full of untruth, and they are not obedient, and you can't catch them, and they run around the yard, and hide under the car, and get in your children, and hide in your husband, and get in your wife, and in your neighbors, and in your agreements, and in your emotions, and in your love. And everywhere you look after a while, there's an old nasty cat hanging off of that feeling and off of that emotion and off of that. And the first thing you know, you can't survive. And you say, what's the use anyway? Well, I don't think there's any use anyway either. And you need to get you one great big old net this morning and say, I am going to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I'm not going to live with these cats anymore. I want to preach some more about what the blood will do. I want to ask you, did the word of God say, how am I going to gird up the loins of my mind? How am I going to keep these thoughts from running wild? How am I going to keep myself from producing all of this downs business and all of these sad feelings and all these decaying feelings and tearing my heart out of myself with all kinds of remorseful and guilty things? How can I stop doing that? I've got to bring my mind into obedience to the Word of God. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you, these cats will defy God Almighty. These cats will stand right up and defy the God that's in you. These spirits will come back and say you don't have God when you know that God is in you. Tell you, you don't feel God when you know you feel God. That's right. Tell you that it's not doing you any good to go to church when you know it's doing you good to go to church. They tell sinners, there's no use for you to repent, you've been too bad. When the Word of God says that every sin, every iniquity, God is able to cleanse. That whoever comes to Him, He will in no wise cast out. And yet, unless you can bring their thoughts into captivity, sinners will walk right back out the door, they'll leave their pew and go right back out the door and go and live in sin, and they'll tell you 10 years later, if you ever see them again, they'll tell you, I wanted to live for God, but I'm too bad, I've done too many bad things. God is able to overcome the bad. I've met saints that have told me woeful stories that they have carried for 20 and 30 years. Cats that they've had living in their house for years. And I've had them come to me and say, Brother Handy, I want you to pray for me. Many years ago, I did something that I know. And when they start on that, I just want to pass away. I just want to fall out on the floor and kick and stick both feet straight up in there and just kick and scream. Many years ago, I did. Many years ago, I did. Did what? Oh, I did this or I did that. I don't want to just say what it is, but it was really a terrible thing, and I just never have forgiven myself. Well, now that's really sad. You've been feeding little old scrawny cats all these nasty little old flea bags. What I want to ask is, how many times have those cats run out and brought back a litter with them, and you've had to just hang on to your mind because you were losing your mind over thinking about that thing, and that one little old cat has produced 1,000 thoughts that have come back to torment you day and night.
and you let him do it. You open the cage door and let him run. And he'll go out and find another cat somewhere, and they come back just pissing along with all those poor little old blind, sore-eyed things running along behind them. And then you've got to pray, "Oh, God, help me, I've got trouble." Everybody still here? Lady told me one time, said, "Brother Andy, I did something years ago. When I was a young girl, I was in the church and I stole $3 out of the offering plate. I've lived for God now. I repent, got straightened up, and I've been living for God for more than 30 years. But I was in hard times, and they said it was a special offering for an evangelist. And I took it and said, I brought it back and gave it to the pastor and told him I was sorry. But I just never I felt like God forgave me for that." Yeah. Oh, I want to grab that little cat and twist his head off. And all the other little cats he's producing, use them for juggling. Take them and pitch them like baseball. Twist their heads off and throw them against the wall. Nothing is so greedy as a filthy cat that's lived in your heart for 30 years. And nothing is so pitiful as for you to let it. He's got a path worn that deep in your heart where he runs in and out of your mind all the time. And the best thing he can do is just have cats. I looked at that woman, I said, "How long?" She said,
"Over 30 years.
$3 for over 30 years. That's $1 for each 10 years. I said, "You brought the money back?"
"Yes, sir."
"You asked the pastor to forgive you?"
"Yes, sir."
"You asked the Lord to forgive
you?" "Oh, yes, sir. But I just never did feel like God forgave me."
If you don't accept what God does for you, he can't do anything for you. It's a very likely chance the woman is not forgiven because she don't believe it. And you can't accept anything from God if you don't believe it. Because faith is the hand that reaches out of your heart that says, "I believe that what the Word of God says, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." If God said it, I believe it. His Word can't lie. I'm going to gird up the loins of my mind. What with? With truth. I'm going to take truth and make my mind obey me. Listen, I'm sorry. I've done a lot of lousy things. I've got skeletons I wouldn't want any of you to look at. But I am not going to live in my heart the rest of my life. If I do, I am disobedient to the Word of God. I'm disobedient to the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is that I fear God and believe His Word. And I believe what he says about me and about himself. And God said he would forgive all of my iniquities. He would cleanse my heart. He would heal my diseases. There is no reason for me to tote around a problem for 30 years and to come weaseling back to God with my cats all hanging off my garments and saying, "I don't know about this." I do know, because the Word of God said so, and I'm slapping God's face every time I say I don't know. I'm hurting him and crucifying him afresh and putting him to an open shame when I say that I don't think he forgave me. I am belittling Calvary. I'm tearing down the cross. I'm doing away with redemption. I'm denying the blood of Jesus Christ when I say that he didn't do what he said he would do. When I say that I repented and yet he didn't forgive me, I'm destroying the whole heart, the whole soul, the whole base for my Christianity. I can't believe anything if I can't believe the Word of God. I learned a long time ago that if the Bible said it, I believe it. If he said he walked whiter than snow, then it was whiter than snow. It wasn't a musty gray. He wasn't still hanging on. I found out something else too. God does not calculate nor multiply sin. He doesn't deal with you and just get horrible hateful because you did something wrong. He loves you. Let's all say he loves me. He doesn't want me to do wrong.
made a way to help me if I did do wrong. Doesn't want me to do it over and over again. Amen. But He's merciful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Let's all say, cleanse us. Get me a bar of soap. I'm going to take a bath. Let's all say, cleanse. Not just a little, but cleanse. Say, well, I wash my hand. My mother, you say, Mark, David, go wash. And I say, okay. Turn on the water. Go. Turn it off. She came back and said, what's that on your shirt? Did you wash? Hmm? You use soap? Hmm? Let me see. One of her favorite statements, let me see your hands. So what's that on your wrist? Mud. Go wash. Use soap. Wash up to your elbows. She used to always come by the bathroom. The bathroom was the out spring porch. I'm not talking about restroom, I'm talking about bathroom. Because the restroom was about 100 yards out behind the house. A good old number 3 wash tub and a lot of soap, it'll do wonders for you. It'll make you just pink as can be. That's right. I used to take one of them every Saturday night. And hated to do that. And her favorite statement when she came past the door, I said, don't open the door. She'd say, Mark, David, did you wash your ears? And I'd say, yes, ma'am. The Bible said Jesus' blood. Let's all say Jesus' blood. I'm not talking about the blood of bulls and of goats. No, no. For the blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sin. But His blood. He entered in once and for all. And His blood. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away. What news that was. He's not coming just to be another lamb. He's not coming just to be another goat. He's not coming just to be another turtle dove. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. His blood. His blood will wash you whiter than snow. Cleanse us. Let's all say cleanse us. From all unrighteousness. Just a little? No, all of it. 5 years later, I do something wrong. Does God go back and scratch up the yard? No, the cats dig up the yard. God never has dug up the yard looking for your sin. When He buried that sin, it was buried. And if you go to the judgment, He won't ever bring it up again. I don't believe that God is going to drag. If you sin one vast sin before the coming of the Lord and miss the coming of the Lord, judgment would reveal only what the blood did not cover. Come on now. How do you know? Because He don't even remember those others. What sin? What sin? Oh, God, forgive us for our sin. What sin? He already forgave it and doesn't even remember it. Everybody still here? Say, but I did something yesterday. And what you have done is you sent out your mind and said, I failed again. Oh, dear. And that little cat went out and found another cat. And those little cats went back and dug up the whole backyard. And they've come in with every little old sin you ever did hanging out of their little old nasty teeth. And they sit down on your back porch and they're waiting for you to come out and view all of your insignificance and how terrible off you are and how much God doesn't love you and how much He's got against you. He doesn't have that against you. He buried that. They dug it up and you sent out the yard cat that produced them. But if you'd have shut him off at the door and said, get back in here. You're not going out of this cage. I'm going to bring you into captivity. Let's all say, bringing into captivity. And slam the door down. And that little cat goes, yeah! And say, just hush and stay here. He's a wild little old thing. No! Oh, hush. You need to kick that cage a little. Get him. He'll run around 3 or 4 times, hit his head against the bar, and then sit and look at you. You turn him loose, and you know what he'll do? He'll get in there and say, everything you ever did, God's got it lined up.
you're going to go to hell. You can't make it to heaven. You got all these things.
God hasn't got all those things lined up. All those little old cats, he's wanting to get out and see if he can't go out and howl by the light of the moon. That's what he wants to do. He wants to go out and get him a chain and a thought. He wants you to set him free in your mind so he can run around all over your heart and make up all these imaginations. That's right. And build him a high place, a lofty place in the corner of your soul that you can't even get to. And then sit up there and howl at you. And you say, please come down here and let me deal with you. And sit up there and smirk at you while you suffer and feel bad. You don't have to do that. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to go through that. When he forgave you 10 years ago, he forgave you and washed it away. And it'll never come up again. Ever. He is not going to accumulate. When Jesus came, he did not remember the sins of the fathers against the sons any longer. He washed it all away. Let's all say away. Some of you don't believe me. You've been having too much fun playing with your cat. You've been funneling too many little old ideas that it's no use anyhow. People can't worship God because they got too many cats around them. It's a hell. Oh, they can't worship. They're not worthy to lift up their hands. They couldn't shout. Oh, don't dance. You're not worthy to dance. Worthy to dance. Makes me want to eat that microphone. You turn that lousy cat loose. You're not worthy. Not worthy. Yeah, I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. Doesn't that sound like a cat? You're not worthy. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. Rub up against your leg. You're not worthy. Nice kitty. You're not worthy. Oh, nice kitty. You're not worthy. Then your wife comes in and says, honey, you need to feed the cat. Yeah, I guess I do. No, you need to kill the cat. You need to kill him so he suffers. When I kill my cat, I kill them so they suffer. I don't put them out of their misery quickly. I like to strangle them to death and watch them, their eyes bulge out and watch them, their tongue stick out. I want to remember that I killed him. I remember that he's dead. I remember that he's gone. Don't want him looking at me anymore. What does that mean? That means if you got anything wrong right now, you need to say, Lord Jesus, your truth says, see, your mind will say, let me out. I want to go. I want to go out. And howl by the light of the moon. You need to come walking in with truth and say, the word of God says, friend, you can put a bolt in the door. He's not going to get out. There's not going to be any cats today. Yes, sir. What are you going to do with that cat? Got him in captivity. Let him howl.
Please. I want to think about that.
Don't think about it. Forget it. The only thing that can control those things is truth. Having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does that mean? What is he talking about? Standing ready. The very first minute when you come into that trial, you don't know what's happening. Looks like the world's crumbled down around you. All of these things start happening. Your mind starts going wild. Maybe I'm going to lose my job. Maybe I'm going to lose my home. Maybe I'm going to lose my children. Maybe I'm going to lose my husband. Maybe I'm going to lose my wife. Maybe I'm dying with cancer. Maybe that's what that is. You don't suppose that's what that is. You let that cat out and he'll come back, you'll have everything from kidney poison to nosebleed. That's right. You shouldn't think about that like that. You shouldn't let your mind go wild. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. I said, God hath not given us a spirit. Where'd it come from? You let that cat produce it right down there. You need to shut that thing off. Bolt the door. You say, I've got a pain. Oh, it's cancer. It is not cancer. Hush. Who told you that was cancer? Who said that was cancer? You did. Your mind did.
Well, I know that's what I've done.
Well, you just keep saying that and keep thinking that, and friend, that little old cat will go out and drag up some cancer for you. He'll find you some. But God didn't give you that. He didn't give you a spirit of fear, but I'll tell you what He did do. He made you a child of God. If you're going to be a child of God, you can't be a child of God unless you're willing to stand the test. Be proven that you love God more than you love yourself. That you believe the Word of God more than you believe your own carnal mind. Because the carnal mind is an enemy of God. And you believe that what God says is true. And every man is a liar. Every cat's telling lies. And God's telling the truth. Let God be true. And every man, every thought, every idea that man comes up with is a lie. You got cancer. I don't have cancer. The doctor says, yeah, that's it. Fingernails are curling up. The eyes turn green. That's it. That's it. That's what? You got it. What have I got? You got the skinny of the Latimus. Oh, is that what it is? Ooh, I got the skinny of the Latimus. I'm going to die. You say, what's that? I don't know what that is either. And the doctor doesn't either. You say, don't talk about my doctor. No, I wouldn't either, because you love him much as you love God. I'm going to tell you something. There are some people that would listen to that man before they'd ever listen to the Word of God. Because he's one of their favorite cats. Doctor, what do you think this is? Ooh. He said, well, I think it's five fingers against your right side. Ooh. The Bible said, who healeth all? Let's all say all. Now what I want to know is, are you in obedience to the Word of God? What I want to know is, do you believe what the Holy Bible says? Did He say He'd heal all? I want to know, did He heal them all? He said, yes, but we're living in a day. Oh, get that cat before he gets out. He said, yes, but you know, this is not just like it. Get that cat before he gets out. Say, well, Brother Sandy, I was praying for a few years ago and it didn't work. Get that cat before he gets out. The Bible says, truth says, and you better gird up the loins of your mind. You better let truth bring your mind and thought into captivity. Truth is the only thing that can handle your cat. You remember that. You need to get out your Bible and you need to look at it and say, now, Lord, the doctor says this is one thing. I don't know what it is, but I've got my Bible out here, and your word is truth. It doesn't matter what man says. God's word is right. Now, if this is skinny of the Latimus, or if this is procrastination of the eyeball, it doesn't make any difference to you, because you said you could heal it all. All of it. I just lost my job, but you said that you would supply my needs. And instead of myself going wild and letting my brain go out here and decide how I'm going to lose my house, I'm not going to decide how I'm going to lose my house. You can sit back in your evening chair and watch the man come up and knock on the door. You can see him months in advance coming to take the kids away. Before long, those cats have got all kinds of things. Here comes another little cat, prancing up. He's got a broke tail and a left ear that's hanging over his sore eye. And he comes a-waltzing up there, and he drops a little picture down in front of you while you're sitting back there in all of your morbid, lonely atmosphere. What was that one? That was the one of the man coming with the subpoena. Oh. Here comes another little cat. He's a proud little thing with yellow stripes on him and one eye poked out. And please call him from one ear to the other. And he comes a-prancing up, and he's got another old picture in his mouth. And here you are sitting in your lonely, gloomy chair. What am I going to do? Well, just sit there long enough, and they'll tell you what to do. They got all the answers for you, those cats do. They got all the answers. You let one cat out, and he's looking back with 1,000 ideas, feelings. Drop that picture down and... That's the man that's coming to get the keys to your house. He just repossessed it. Oh. And you can sit there, and in 15 minutes, you can watch this entire panorama unfold in front of you of all of the lies and the imagination and the fear and the unbelief and the doubt that never has to happen. The worst thing is you're failing your God. You're sinning against Calvary. You are not in obedience to the knowledge of God. Because if you were, you'd slam the bolt on that first little old cat that runs out there and shut it on his head. When he says, "You've had it," you say, "No, I haven't had it either. I'm going to gird up the loins of my mind." You need to grab the Word of God and say, "Here I am. I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is. I don't know what's happened, but I know that God will not fail me. He's not going to fail me. In the time of need, he said, I'll be with you in six troubles, yea, in seven. I'm not going to forsake you." Hallelujah. Did he say it or not? When you pass through the waters, they're not going to overflow you. When you go through the fire, you're not going to be burned. What are you talking about, Brother Hamby? I'm telling you that God allows these things to come to you to make you strong. And if you let your mind go out, you weaken yourself. You lose the victory. You lose the trial. You lose the test. There's no reason for God even to put you on the altar, because you can't prove anything to God and God can't prove anything to you. He's got to try your faith to see that you stand fast, because when he comes again, he wants to see that there's going to be faith in the earth. Let your loins be girt about and your life burning, and ye yourselves likened to men that wait for their Lord. What are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. He's going to come and deliver me. Well, what do you mean? I've got my loins girt about. I'm not creating all kinds of little situations in my mind and terrible things that are happening. I've got myself in control. God's taking care of me. I've got truth here. I'm waiting for my Lord to come. He's going to return as the one coming from a wedding. What does that mean? He's going to come with rejoicing. He's going to come skipping down the road to me. What is it you need, son? What is it you said you had need of? Here, I'm ready to take care of that for you. But you let the cats out and let the Word of God go, and God comes time after time to deliver the saints of God, and they can't believe faith. They can't believe the healing. They can't believe the deliverance, because they've got too many things in their mind that says it won't happen. It can't be. It's got to be this way. They create their own episode. They create their own future and then do their best to try and fulfill it. I'm telling you something. You start believing things and it'll come to pass, because the mind is powerfully creative. If you believe you've got a cancer, you'll die with a rotting cancer. If you believe you've got heart trouble, you'll fall over one of these days with a blue mask. If you believe that you're just going to backslide, you sure enough going to. But if you stand up and look every one of those cats in your eye and say, "I'm telling you, neighbor, I'm going to walk with God till Jesus comes, and nothing will turn me around. The devil can't touch you." Let's all stand. Hallelujah! Go get all those cats and bring them in here. I'd like to work on those cats this morning. I want to get all those cats that are exalted up there in that high place. I want to get all those lousy, lonely ones down there. All those self-conscious ones. All those sympathy cats. You need to go out and get every one of those thoughts and bring them into captivity. Bring them in here and put them in a cage. Feed them good old Holy Ghost poison and let them die. Take out that rotten, stinking flesh and bury it just as deep as you can until the buzzards can't get them. And then walk back out and say, "Now, I got this little cage with a trap door on it, and the next lousy chap that comes a strutting through my mind, I'm going to punch this little button, and I got him. He's not going anywhere, because truth is my shield and my buckler. Truth is my defense. I'm going to believe God no matter what the symptoms say. I'm going to believe God regardless of what the doctor says. I'm going to believe God regardless of what the preacher says. I'm going to believe God regardless of what the saints say. I'm going to believe God anyhow." Hallelujah. When I walk out the other side of this trial, Brother Winburn, when I get out the other side of this trial, I'm not going to have sinned with my mouth. The Bible said Job didn't sin with his mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what was so great. I'm going to tell you what. There were other people in Bible days that suffered like Job suffered, probably.
Sure. Yes.
But I'm going to tell you why his anthology was written down in the Holy Bible, the middle book in the Bible. It's the pivotal point. It is the fact that in every case, right square in the middle of the Bible, God put down what it means to be proven, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Because whether you live then or whether you live later, it's going to be the trial of your faith that prepares you for the coming of the Lord. If you don't pass the test, you're going to be weak and flimsy. If you let every thought and every idea and every little old carnal thought rule you, you will not be ready to meet the Lord. You can't let your mind go wild. You can't think hatred and fear and envy and emulation and strife and malice and variance and think those things and be right with God. You have got to be ruled by the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule your heart. I wouldn't let the devil tell me I'm backsliding. I wouldn't let the devil tell me that. I'd tell him what he is. Devil, you're a liar and the father of lies. That's it, a liar and the father of lies. And you're not coming in here to create a bunch of cats for me to have to feed.
Glory to God.
I made up my mind I'm going to be right with God. Made up my mind I'm going to walk with God. Made up my mind when I can't do what I want to do, I can't live like I want to live, I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me and get forgiven and walk with God. And I'm not going to let the devil hit me one time. He's not going to hit me one time. I'm not going to use my head for a volleyball.
No, sir.
I made up my mind. I know that old boy. I know his number. He is a scoundrel, a filthy scamp, and he's waiting to set a wildcat loose in your soul and get you all messed up so you can't pray. He wants to mess you up so you can't shout and worship God. The first thing he'll say is, well, you better not. Somebody don't say something. Get that cat and kill it. Would you kill that cat, please? Say, well, the last time I shouted, I fell down to the dimensions. Would you take that cat and kill that cat, please? Say, yes, but I yelled real loud. My husband grabbed me, but I said, be quiet. Would you kill that cat, please? Would you go get all your cats and get them in out of the yard, and would you kindly put them in a cage? And would you look me straight in the eye and say, I am going to believe what God says regardless of what anybody else says? If Jesus said it, I believe it. Woo! And now, in closing, I'm going to preach to you for less than 5 minutes while you're standing here about what else can happen in your heart when you cage all the cats. Let me tell you what truth is. Truth is just as virile and just as potent and just as creative as doubt is. And if you are willing to drag in all of your little flea bags and put them to death and put them in a cage, let me tell you what truth wants to do. He wants to walk proudly around the inside of your soul. And he wants to start speaking. The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Even the word of faith which we preach unto you. You need to start saying what God is going to do for you. I just lost my job, but God is doing this for a reason. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My son just pulled the boner of a lifetime. I can't tell you how terrible it was, but I know that God is working on him through this thing, and God is going to save him, and God is going to deliver us. That's right. My daughter just met an unsaved boy. She acts like she's innocent. But now don't go through the whole wedding and marry her off to a hippie in your mind. You need to stop that cat right there and say, the Holy Ghost tells me that it doesn't have to be that way. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God tells me that he is going to listen to me because I'm his child. And I come against all of the forces of darkness that would take away our children and our young people away from the kingdom of God. And I refuse to let this thing come to pass. You say, how can you do that? Because truth is mightier than doubt. And I speak in faith today, and I decree that it is going to be all right. It's not going to be bad. It's going to be good. Whew, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to let out of my heart. I'm going to drag in all those little flea bags and those little old weak, spindly-legged, knotty-tailed cats. And I'm going to open my cave door and out prances the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he can take every one of those filthy, lousy little old things and cut them to shreds. Out comes the eagle of God. Under his feathers, I'm going to hide. Hallelujah. Underneath are the everlasting arms of God. Praise God. And when the devil tells me I'm not going to make it and everything I've ever done is wrong, I'm going to let the Lamb walk out as though he was slain from the foundation of the world. And I'm going to point and say, see the blood, devil? Woo! Did you see that blood? That blood washes away every sin I've ever committed. Woo! There's not one thing that can't handle. I'm going to gird up my loins with truth. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm going to start speaking faith. I'm going to say what God's going to do. I'm going to say what the Word of God says. What does the Word of God say? You need to speak what the Word of God says. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. That means I'm not going to be forsaken. The devil says you're not righteous. You say you're a liar, devil. It's not my righteousness, but it's his righteousness. I'm righteous because he's righteous. I'm holy because he's holy. I'm his son. He's my God. Woo! Hallelujah! He can't touch me. You hear me? He can't touch me. Hallelujah. Call in all your cats and put them in a cage. Come on, get all those flea bags and put them in a cage. Stay right there. Call in all those cats and get them in a cage and drop the bolt of truth on them and say, now I'm going to turn truth loose. You know what truth will do? It'll put your heart back together. Truth will go out and patch up your yard. Truth will go out and take all of those things the cats dug in and put them back under the blood. Woo! Do you hear me? All of those filthy little sins and all of those things. Somebody turn up my microphone. Or turn up my something. Can you hear me? All of those filthy little things that the cats dug in. Truth will march right back out and clean them up and scrub off the back steps and take them right back out to the blood and put them right back down to the bottom, and they won't ever be remembered against you anymore unless you let the cat go get them again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you believe me today? So, Brother Hamby, I've been sick a long time. All right, I want you to stop right now. The Word of God says, by His stripes we were healed. The prophet said we are. He was looking to Calvary. The apostle looked back and said, we were healed. It is already done for you. You believe that? Said, Brother Hamby, I'm awful sick. Yeah, but Brother Hamby, God's Word said it anyhow. Said, but I don't understand. You don't have to understand. Just put the cats in the cage and let God do His work. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get truth and bind yourself so that your mind can go out and create a lot of little old things that are unnecessary. And let truth be your shield and let truth be your buckler. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord together, shall we? Thank you.